So at this time, I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Fortuna City Council. We all rise for the flag salute, and Dean, will you lead us, please?
Mayor? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Dean. Roll call, please, Linda.
Councilmember Glazer?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Long?
Here.
Councilmember Trent?
Here.
Mayor Strahl?
Here. First item on the agenda is a proclamation for the North Coast Stand Down, and Dean is going to read that proclamation for us.
Before I start, I am very honored to be able to present this proclamation for the Stand Down to Army Lieutenant Colonel Alan Dollison. So I will see, not yet, I will see you in about 3 minutes. Whereas on October 3rd and 4th, 2014, the 9th annual North Coast Stand Down will take place at Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Ferndale, California. And whereas there are 10,000 veterans in Humboldt County who have served their country and should be treated with respect and honored for their service. And whereas the purpose of a stand down is to reach out and provide a hand up to local veterans and their families and provide the tools to empower them. And whereas the term stand down is a military one that is used in war times when exhausted combat soldiers requiring time to rest and recover were told to stand down and were taken from battlefields to a place with relative security and safety. And whereas today, stand downs are held across the country as grassroots, community-based events designed to help veterans obtain information about and access to medical, employment, social service, legal, and other types of assistance. And whereas approximately one-third of America's adult homeless population have served their country in the armed services, the North Coast Stand Down is committed to providing homeless veterans access to short-term and long-term resources, including shelter and opportunities to begin drug and alcohol recovery. Whereas, like the North Coast Stand Down, the most effective programs for veterans are community-based, nonprofit, veterans helping veterans groups. Whereas the 2014 North Coast Stand Down will make a positive difference in the lives of our local veterans, their families and surviving spouses, and their children, and raise community awareness of the needs of soldiers returning from active duty. Now, therefore, Mayor Doug Strahl, on behalf of the City Council of the City of Fortuna, recognizes the 2014 North Coast Stand Down Committee and volunteers for their efforts to address the needs of veterans on the North Coast and encourages all North Coast veterans and their families to attend the stand down. Signed this day, second day of September 2014, City of Fortuna.
This on.
Okay. As always, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the City of Fortuna for honoring the stand down and giving us this proclamation. It is important that the communities of Humboldt County take a role in recognizing our organization and what we're doing. Give a little bit of an update. We are very excited about this year's stand down. We've had a very, very successful organizing and fundraising effort this year. We've had the fourth year of having our annual dinner, and we were able to raise $20,000 at our dinner, which is going to be very important in providing services. We're buying gear for the veterans. We're again going to have two dental vans. We're actually short a dentist right now, so if anybody in the community knows of a dentist that would like to help out those days, just have them get in contact with me. We're going to have over 50 service providers. We're going to have, as Dean indicated, both medical, employment assistance, drug and alcohol. We have spiritual counseling. I mean, you name it. It really is a wonderful event for those of you that have participated in it. As you know, it's just up the road at the Ferndale Humboldt County Fairgrounds. And we're really excited. We've got some new folks that are working very, very hard. In fact, as soon as I'm done here, I'm on my way to a coordinator meeting to discuss some of the final details for planning the event, because it really is a large exercise, and it wouldn't be possible without the dedicated volunteers and people that are committed to this event. So I thank the City of Fortuna, and as always, we'll do our best for our veterans. All we see today in the news media is the sacrifices of our veterans. And most recently, we had a veteran here in Humboldt County that passed, as people are aware. So it is very important that we honor our veterans and we provide this assistance in these times where other aspects of our government might not be able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is we have the opportunity to meet a new employee, and the employee will be introduced by Chief Plant Operator Doug Colbert.
Mayor Strell and City Council, I'm honored to introduce Chuck Bowman. He is our new Plant Mechanic 2. We've been out without a mechanic for a few months due to the resignation of our previous mechanic. And needless to say, when he showed up, we handed him his keys to his truck and his tool bag and said, get with it, because there's been a lot that hasn't been able to get done since we've been without a mechanic, and Chuck's done a fantastic job just getting right into it, and we're looking forward to him getting to know the system and getting to know our facility and the different lift stations and pump stations around the community. And so I'd like to introduce Chuck Bowman.
Nice to be here. I really find Fortuna to be fantastic, and I'm glad I can find a fine work here with these guys. Is real nice. So,
good. Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
We'll keep on flushing for you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Moving on. Next item on the agenda is oral comments. And this is where, from the public, and this is where the public may be heard on any item of interest not on the public meeting agenda. Speakers addressing the council will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Comments concerning the consent calendar may be heard at this time. Be advised that by law, the City Council can only deliberate and take actions on items that are included on the agenda. So at this time, is there anyone that would like to make a comment on an item not on the agenda?
I'm Sylvia Judala, 3655 Runnerville Road, and I wanted to let you know about a new web page that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is putting on all computer systems. And what it is called is it's called justserve.com, and it's going to be available for communities, service organizations, all churches, nonprofits. And we are going to be meeting next week to determine who is going to be the webmaster here locally. And so if there are projects that the city needs volunteers for, if they'd let me know, then I will submit those to the webmaster and they will be posted. So if anybody wants to do any volunteer work in Fortuna, they can look at the justserve.com and put in Fortuna, California, and these opportunities will be listed. So it's a pretty exciting new website and service to the community. So be thinking about it. Let me know if there's projects that you know about.
Thank you, Sylvia.
I don't want to cut anybody off. I'm Trina Pocket, and I work at the MGC 2280 Newburgh Road, Fortuna, California. I'm very thankful to be here, and Mayor Strell and the esteemed council members, I would like to talk to you about an event that we have coming up, which many of you are familiar with, the Color Humboldt Run. And before I talk about that, I know this is televised, so I do want to give a little bit of a background at why we have this fundraiser. The MGC is short for the Multi-Generational Center here in Fortuna, and we are a community center that offers different classes, workshops, and events for people of all ages. Just this summer, we've had a great summer here in Fortuna, just this summer we had something called Friends Day Wednesday, where for no charge we had different programs and events for kids to come in and find a safe place to learn and grow, and we had over 250 young people pass through our doors this this summer, which was exciting for us. We want to build a place where people can be equipped and empowered to learn more about themselves and who they want to become. So the MGC, we have ongoing classes and programs throughout the year, and so our big fundraiser, we are a nonprofit, is the Color Humboldt Run. And 100% of everything that we raise with the Color Humboldt Run goes right back into our programs. 100% stays local. And so my purpose here for being here tonight is twofold. I would like to appeal to the community at large to support our fundraiser. You can buy tickets to run. You can come down and watch. It really is such a great time. The event is on September 13th. That was a test and I passed. From 9 to 11, and it will start at Runner Park. The other part of the reason that I'm here is because the City of Fortuna has been incredibly helpful in helping us put this on and helping us with their manpower and just their support. The Fortuna Police Department has been great. The city manager has been wonderful. I know that there's been a lot of support, and we're deeply, deeply grateful for that. We could not do the work that we do at the MGC without the help of everybody participating. So I would like to, as you guys are sponsoring this and helping this, I'd like to invite the City Council, if you're interested, to actually join in the fun, and we will have a booth for you where the City Council members will get to throw paint, if you're interested. I think that that might be a fun thing for you guys, to throw paint at people going by. So I did bring a poster with the details, and I'd like to submit that to the City Council. And if you find that you have the time to do it or that you're interested in doing that, please know that that's something we would love to have you guys participate in. And honestly, more than anything, I just want you guys to know I'm very, very thankful to be a part of this community. We live in an amazing, amazing community. And I think that you're going to be very happy here. You will find that this is probably the place where you will find the friendliest people, I would say, in the world. I would say that. But so I'm just very grateful to be serving as the executive director at the MGC in such an awesome community. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to make a comment at this time?
I would.
Yeah, go ahead, Demi.
I would just like to offer my condolences to Sergeant Cadle and his family and the Fortuna Police Department for retired police dog Zorro. He went to doggy heaven early morning, August 28th. Zorro worked with Sergeant Cadle for 7 years, 9 months within the City of Fortuna, and he retired last April. And I'd like to thank Zorro for all his years of service. And did you want to say anything, Chief?
Honorable Mayor and Council, and thank you, Councilmember Trent. I'll echo those statements. Zorro passed away on August 28th. After a very short illness, he fell ill and passed away in the middle of the night at his home. And the outpouring from the community since they've learned about Zorro has been tremendous, and wishing condolences not only to Sergeant Cadle and his family, but to the police department. That's really appreciated by all of the staff at the police department. So again, thank you for recognizing that.
Thank you, Chief.
Move to close public comment.
Second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to close public comment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed. Moving on to the next item on the agenda is a consent calendar, and we have 7 items tonight. Does anyone wish to pull any of them?
Number 2.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to approve consent calendar items 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve consent items 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So approved. Sue, you pulled 2.
I just wanted to thank whoever coded every single check with an explanation. It had been sporadic before, and I had actually thought about asking somebody to do that and didn't make the phone call, and I got this staff report and started looking at it, and it's just going to cut down on the questions that we have, and it's just so much more explainable. I mean, just whoever did that, thank you.
I would like to echo that.
Okay, while we're still on that, over the past months, long time on the months, we've been acknowledging payment for rent for the two mobile homes in Royal Crest, and there's no fees being paid for rent. So does that send the message that both of them are being processed through escrow and sold, or what?
Actually, one of the units has been sold and is in escrow at this current time, and the second one is still being marketed and does have some interest, so we shall see really soon.
So there would be a rent payment that isn't reflected on this month's disbursements, but next month?
We were paying both rent spaces at the same time, and now we'll only have to pay one. Also, our representative has been working with the management at the Royal Crest Mobile Home Park, and so we may not be paying rent on the other unit for an interim period. I don't have details regarding that, but the second unit is not sold yet.
All right, so still didn't answer my question. if there is rent being paid, it's acknowledgement as a disbursement payment going out on this list. It has not been listed, so
it's listed.
Was it left off?
I saw it on
I saw it, yeah.
I searched.
I did.
Well, if Sue Bright Eyes caught it, then I'll trust you. Huh?
Yeah.
18?
Right in the middle.
18?
Royal Crest, right there. Yep.
I had my thumb on it. Okay.
Royal
cool.
Crest.
Okay. Thank you very much. It answers that. I make a motion to approve item number two.
Second.
And moved and seconded to approve item number two. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So approved. Now we'll move into the business section of this meeting. And first item is authorization of an award of contract for the Rohnert Park Recreation Hall remodeling project. Regan, do we have a staff report?
We do, Honorable Mayor Strell and council members. I don't know if Merritt is gonna take over this item for a brief second. We had Kevin Carter, who's been moving this process forward. It's one of our CIP projects that we had identified for the city. And we've gotten to the point of identifying a vendor to come in, make the improvements that are needed there. We're going to make some much needed ADA improvements to one of our public facilities. So that's great. You know, we proceeded through the bids process and identified the lowest responsive bidder. And so anyway, I don't know if Merritt has more detail to bring this item through on behalf of the Public Works Department who's working on this project. But I think that's pretty much covers it. So unless the council has any other questions or specific detail regarding the staff report, we will just look for your action on this item.
Do we have any questions, or do you want to hear from Merritt? No? Yeah?
My only comment is, if I know it, $100,000 is probably small change to some big businesses, but if I was receiving an award by the city, I think I would have a representative here to be receiving acknowledgement and maybe thanking the city for picking them. But, you know, that's a different standpoint.
I appreciate your comments. We'll share it with this vendor. I do know that from discussions with staff, this particular vendor, New Life Service Company, is not one of our regular vendors, so maybe they're not familiar with our city council process, but we can chat with them. But we will definitely look forward to their work and hopefully get that project completed and have another facility that's up to snuff for us.
Thank you. If there's no other questions of staff, then we will open it to the public. Does anyone from the public have any comments on the possibilities of remodeling our old building?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to close public comment period.
Second.
We moved and seconded to close public comment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed.
I'll motion to award the contract to New Life Service Company in the amount of $94,180 and establish a maximum contract amount, including 10% contingency of $103,598. And authorize city manager to execute the contract and other related documents.
Second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to award a contract to New Life Service Company in the amount of $94,180 and to estimate the maximum contract amount, including a 10% contingency fund of $103,598. Authorize the city manager to execute the contract and other related documents. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So approved. We have a project.
We do. Thank you, Mayor Strella and council members. And I was still kind of making notes on the last item, but I wanted to make sure that you understood that Kevin Carter is ill today and was not available for tonight's right. meeting, and so that's why we've taken over that item. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have been here to present this item. So.
Okay, moving on down the agenda, the next item is a public hearing to assess cost and authorize property tax lien for weed abatement at 291 Orchard Lane, resolution 2014-37. And our staff report, please.
We do. Our general services superintendent, Mike Johnson, is here for this item. Mike?
Honorable mayor and council members, this is the culmination of one project from the weed abatement that began many months ago, it seems like now. But pursuant to Fortuna Municipal Code 8.20.030, the Public Works Department has abated the nuisance of potential fire hazards from weeds and brush on one parcel of private property that was proclaimed in Resolution 2014-25. And the cost for this abatement is as follows, listed on your staff report as a breakdown of costs. You'll notice that under labor, broken out my costs as for administration for the letters, postage, staff reports, various and sundry administrative time. So that you can see the labor was $277.04, equipment was $206, postage for the certified mailings added up to $1,298, administrative costs of $169.40, and the public hearing published was $94.84 for a grand total of $760.26. Pursuant to Fortuna Municipal Code 8.20.042, these costs have been presented to the council previously, and a copy of this claim was sent to the affected property owner of record. And the report of costs was posted 3 days in advance of this meeting in front of the council chambers. And a notice of public hearing was published in the newspaper of general circulation. Now, this public hearing is to consider any protest to this assessment. And at this public hearing, the city council will be sitting as a board of equalization and can modify or correct any assessment which, in their opinion, is excessive or otherwise incorrect. No modifications are made. The assessment shall be confirmed by the city council, and the assessment will become a lien against the property involved. Financial impact of this would be reimbursement of $760.26 to the general fund to cover the costs related to this abatement. And at this time, I'm ready to answer any question you may have.
Do we have any questions of Mike?
How many years in a row have we had to address this one location?
Somewhere's in there. I know eight for sure, probably three prior to that. So that's just what I can remember.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions of Mike, then we will open it to the public. And we'll have a public hearing. Receive any public comment on this. Is there anyone from the public that would like to make comment on this weed abatement program?
Mr. Mayor, make a motion to close public comment period.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to close the public comment hearing. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed.
Mr. Mayor, make a motion to authorize city clerk to file a certified copy of resolution 2014-37 with the county auditor to constitute a lien on the property tax bill.
Excuse me, Dean.
We need to do the first one first.
Number four.
Okay. Let's redact that.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to approve assessment as presented or as modified and adopt resolution 2014-37, read it by title only.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve assessments as presented or as amended and adopt resolution 2014-37 and read by title only.
This is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Fortuna confirming the amounts of and ordering the declaration of special assessment for unpaid nuisance abatement costs for violations at 291 Orchard Lane, AP number 201112-005. Councilmember Glazer.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Long.
Yes.
Councilmember Trent.
Yes.
Mayor Strell.
Yes. Go ahead.
And I've already made the motion, so we could just draw it back from the recording, Mr. Mayor. Motion to authorize City Clerk to file a certified copy of Resolution 2014-37 with the County Auditor to constitute a lien on the property tax bill for 291 Orchard Lane and a notice of lien with the County Recorder's Office.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize the City Clerk to file a certified copy of the Resolution 2014-37 with the County Auditor and to constitute a lien on the property tax bill for 291 Orchard Lane and a notice of lien with the County Recorder's Office. Is this roll call or voice? Voice is fine. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So approved. Thank you very much, people.
Thanks, Mike.
Next item on the agenda is to adopt the City of Fortuna Water Shorty Contingency Plan for required by the state water code. Whoops, excuse me, I skipped one. I gotta go back.
I've affected you.
You affected me. Actually, I had orders from my wife to get home early tonight, so I was trying to.
It's airborne, it's not by touch.
Yeah, yeah. No, we just gotta get out of here, it's too warm. So we got a public hearing to amend the Fortuna Municipal Code Title 17 Zoning Regulations, Chapter 17.05 Regulations, and apply to more than one zone, the 17.05.180 signs, second reading, and adopt the ordinance 2014-711. So do we have a staff report on that, please?
We do. Thank you, Mayor Strell and council members. Actually, Liz will hold this item for us. It's holding the second reading, so there shouldn't be too much discussion, but Liz, please.
Yeah, so this is a second reading, Honorable Mayor and council members. Previously, excuse me, discussed at the first reading, answered your questions then, had more information. Basically, it extends time limits for temporary signs to 60 days, making them uniform, and in particular, responding to the need for political or campaign signs to bring those into conformance with the rest of the code and to allow longer time than what we previously had in the code. I don't have any changes. No issues have come up. I won't go into the details. It's a pretty brief code amendment anyway, and we did discuss it at the previous meeting. Made a couple of cleanup changes in response to the council at the earlier meeting. I can respond to any questions that you might have. Otherwise, this is a second reading and really just
I do have one question that I didn't really catch the first time around. The effective date of this ordinance is 30 days after its adoption by the City Council, so if it doesn't go into effect till October 2nd, we didn't really accomplish anything for this year, correct?
Well, fortunately, we have the emergency ordinance that is in effect for 2 years.
Uh-oh.
Until this one takes effect.
We can still go by that one.
Right.
Okay.
We're
I was
good.
Gonna say, this isn't, okay.
No, we're good on the upcoming election.
So we don't even have to vote on this then?
Well,
someday we
don't have to.
Someday we do.
Let's just delay this until January.
We do.
Let's just get it over with.
This will put the ordinance in place for us for many years and many future elections.
2 years.
Well, when this takes effect after the 30-day posting, then the 2-year emergency ordinance will go away.
Okay.
It automatically goes away, doesn't it? Yes.
Got it.
All right. Is there any other questions of staff? If not, I'd like to open it to the public. Anyone from the public have any comments on the sign ordinance change?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to close public hearing.
Second.
It's been closed and seconded to close the public hearing. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So closed.
I'll make a motion to hold the second reading and adopt ordinance 2014-711, and read by title only.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to hold the second reading and adopt ordinance 2014-711 and read by title only.
This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Fortuna amending the Fortuna Municipal Code, Title 17, Zoning Regulations, Chapter 17.05, Regulations that apply in more than one zone, Subsection 17.05.180, Signs. Councilmember Glazer.
No.
Councilmember Long.
Yes.
Councilmember Trent.
Yes.
Mayor Stroh.
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to the next item on the agenda. Now we get to be the City of Fortuna Water Shortage Contingency Plan as required by the State Water Code, Resolution 2014-38. Do we have a staff report on that?
We do. Thank you, Honorable Mayor Strell and council members. We actually have a series of a couple of items here for your approval tonight. The second of which, is that correct, Linda? Item E, we're going to actually hold off for tonight and complete some additional posting time for the community to understand what we're doing and have more opportunity to come in and comment, and then we'll bring that back at our next meeting, which will be on Monday, September 15th. But the other two items we're going to move forward with tonight, and as he had with our previous items, Doug Colbert will be presenting this item. The first is our water shortage contingency plan. And as we discussed last time, we're trying to implement something for the first time for the City of Fortuna, which is a water shortage contingency plan. We don't typically have that issue up here in Humboldt County, but as you know, there's a statewide drought. And so this is something that will, again, further the effort of local control and make sure that we as a city are responsible for our actions here in the City of Fortuna and not necessarily allowing the state or other organizations to tell us how to handle our local business, which is something that, of course, we like as a city. And I know a lot of other cities like to have responsibility for their own actions as well. So this will help us to do so. But before I turn it over to Doug, I wanted to say one more thing about this being a first time that we're bringing something like this before the City Council. We had a lot of comments and changes and questions when we provided the draft at the last meeting, and you know, we're hoping to get this approved tonight, but we do understand that it's something new for the city, and we may come across other things in the future that need changing or updating that are more appropriate for us here in Fortuna. And just want you to know that we're open to that, and we're definitely willing to come back and bring those changes. But it is something new for us, and if we don't get started, we won't ever get to it. But we are open to changes and making sure that this is a good document for us here in Fortuna. But we do want to get it in place so we do have that local control and the ability to respond to the state's drought situation. So, Doug, if you want to take it from there, please.
Thank you, Regan, Honorable Mayor and City Council. This is the third time that we've come before you with this, and I think we're all fairly familiar with the process. Tonight's meeting is actually bringing you a finalized contingency plan. We did discuss this at the last council meeting and had some concerns and that we were able to address in the final plan. I do want to call your attention to Appendix C, which in the as part of the plan is the proposed ordinance language change. This is not the official ordinance language, so this was just what was provided with the plan. So if you looked at it extensively, you might see some discrepancies between what you see attached to this plan and what the actual ordinance says. And so just keep in mind that this is not the official language. That'll come at one of our other items tonight. So just wanted to point that out. But as Regan mentioned, we currently are without a contingency plan. And as you know, you authorized or passed ordinance accepting the state ordinance, ironically, to Resolution 214-38 that the state passed. And we had to accept basically what they were saying we had to do. This plan pretty much says what we want it to say and is compliant with the water code minimum requirements. One thing that I'll mention also is that the prohibitions that are listed in here for each of the stages are listed in the plan itself and not in the ordinance. That way, It's easier to change the prohibitions just by changing the plan, and the ordinance actually points to the plan, so we don't have to go through the ordinance change process every time we want to modify the plan. So you'll also see that you don't see any prohibitions listed in the ordinance, but they're pointing to the plan. Other than, you know, what I've said before, one of the main things that we had, one of the main issues we had with the state resolution was the ambiguity and the fact that it left a lot to for us to interpret. And so hopefully this plan has defined things a little better to make it a little bit more easier to understand. And even as easy as we can make it, I'm sure there still be more questions, so we'll be happy to answer any questions based on the report that we have for you tonight. And with that, I'll leave it up to any questions that you might have.
Does anyone have any questions of Doug at this moment?
I just had one. I thought we talked about the unattended automatic watering, and it was 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. I thought we talked about maybe extending that to 6 a.m.
That was one of the things that Linda and I spoke about. We had notes in our from last time of the direction, that specific direction that you gave us. That was something that was just talked about. There was nothing that we got from you that said change that, and so we didn't. But it's simple to make that change tonight. I mean, we can do that tonight. That was, I wanted to kind of leave that there so it would call attention to it. So we didn't get any clear direction on that, but it's real simple just to change that if that's what you want.
I don't know why you guys can't read our minds. The only reason I would say to change it is because no one is running around town generally at 3 a.m. But if you're out and about at 6 a.m. because you're going to the gym or you're walking or whatever, you see those sprinklers that are running down the street. And I actually called one business and said, hey, did you know you're watering the street versus the lawn? And you know, they adjusted their sprinklers. And I think we would be more apt to see that and have somebody, you know, call the business and just with a polite inquiry, or call City Hall versus 3 a.m. when nobody's really out and about. It's the only reason I would change it.
So is 6 a.m. the what you guys would like us to change it to? That's real simple and just changing the language.
You wanted 12 a.m. to 6 a.m.
12 a.m. to 6 a.m.
I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
It'd be 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I just think that those hours, no one's going to notice if people are watering the streets.
Yeah. Only if you're an insomniac or you're a tweaker looking to break into a car. You don't want, could care less about water. The object is to apply the water before the sun comes up and before the sun has a chance to evaporate it. Duh. So, yeah, anything that's in the dark, it'll be an appropriate time. And even with the fall back, spring forward, I'm sure we're going to extend into that period of time. Still would be 6 o'clock is fine. I do have a question about page 6. Was this format taken from a state site reflecting big cities, and you just sort of cut and pasted it and applied it? There's definitely going to be a difference between a small city versus San Francisco or a small city versus Santa Rosa. And the reason I'm mentioning that, on page 6 in the first blocked off area, stage 3, shortage emergency, prohibited filling of swimming pools or hot tubs. I'm sorry, I could probably count the number of swimming pools this town has on one hand, and that would not be enough to be an alarmist. Same thing for hot tubs, probably, I don't know, 30 hot tubs, 50 hot tubs.
And there's a lot of those portable swimming pools that go up in the summertime.
Just by numbers, I think the fear is to not have 1,000 swimming pools with 10,000 gallons being filled up and taken from the system. There's also a concern about how much money and revenue we're going to be losing, talking about $26,000, and at the highest amount during the worst stage is going to be $100,000. I don't think, I mean, we could leave it in here, but there should be some discretion on part of us as a an enterprise when we have the water cops running around to use some common sense rather than just cut and dry, being very flagrant and very impersonal and not taking consideration the minor number versus the quantity that a big city would have using Santa Rosa or Petaluma or Healdsburg, where there are going to be a lot of swimming pools because of the heat.
To answer your question regarding the cut and paste, there was about 144 different options to use to pick from for each of these stages. And myself and Oren Plocker went through each and every single one of those and applied them best we could to number one, the city, and number two, our city, and number two, what it actually was. And if you look at this here, we're talking, I'm not disagreeing with you, Councilman Glazer, but what this applies to stage three. If you look at where we are right now and the dire straits we're in, we're gonna propose a stage two emergency in 2 weeks. And so a stage three is far more extreme than we're in now. That's the first thing. And the second thing is we wanted to look at language that would keep us from having to change the plan as would help us to not have to change the plan as much as we had to. And so right now, maybe we can count the pools on one hand, but we don't know what's going to happen in 5-10 years. And as Councilwoman Trent said, that this does include portable swimming pools. People can, you know, even though we don't see swimming pools out there, you know, at any time somebody could erect their own pool and it'd be 10,000 gallons and who knows what'll happen. So I understand what you're saying. We're just trying to protect ourselves from having to change the plan. And this here is a common language. It didn't really say, you know, what size city it's to. It just was the language that's used in all the different types of contingency plans throughout the state. And this one we felt was good to have in stage three. Some of these have them in stage two. And so we, you know, put it in stage three because we felt that, you know, even though it is an important thing, stage three seemed to be most important for that one.
Thank you.
And you weren't here last meeting. They actually had filling of swimming pools, and we actually added hot tubs. Yep. That wasn't on there when they.
Yes.
So see what happens.
This was your guys' idea. Yeah.
That's what happens when you miss a meeting. Yeah.
It's okay, as long as you didn't appoint me mayor. next one, stage four. I mean, some of these are discussion points. Once we get to that fear factor, we could just beat it to death, and then we could bring it up rather than trying to fine-tune it right now. So I'll just let that go. So I think that's about the only couple of comments. And I'm glad Sue mentioned about the time frame for the sprinkler systems.
Great. I think we did incorporate almost all of the, well, pretty much all of the comments
we did
from our last meeting. So they should all be in there, except for, of course, the time thing. But, yeah, I think we're good to go with the comments from the last meeting.
Good. Any other questions of staff at this time? If not, I'd like it to open to the public. Does anyone from the public have any comments on this contingency plan?
Coming to the, there's a line.
Yep, there's a
if
line.
If you have a swimming pool, you better speak up now.
Yep.
Even a lap pool. Yep. Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to close public comment period.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to close public comment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed.
Make a motion to adopt resolution 2014-38 and read by title only.
Second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 2014-38 and read by title only.
This is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Fortuna confirming the amounts of and ordering the where am I?
Yep.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. This is a resolution of
Airborne.
The City Council of the City of Fortuna declaring a stage. Wait a second.
One more.
It's airborne.
One more.
All right.
Ebola.
I need to go to my paper one.
Want my hard copy?
Now we're never going to get the mayor on.
Who am I getting?
Dean.
I'm sorry. It's my fault. It was a cut and paste error. I apologize. This is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Fortuna approving the water shortage contingency plan for the City of Fortuna. Councilmember Glazer.
Boy, after all that work, I have to say yes. Thank you very much.
Councilmember Long.
Yes.
Councilmember Trent.
Yes.
Mayor Strell.
Yes.
Thank you. Now we have a plan.
It's airborne. You're next, Dave.
Yeah. Don't get the lawyer. That'd be scary.
So the next item on the agenda, item E, we discussed a little earlier, and we're going to postpone that to a future date. Is that right?
Slide and dice it, yes.
Okay. Thank you. And then moving on to the next item is a public hearing amending the Fortuna Municipal Code Title 13 Utilities, Chapter 13.13, Water Storage and Water Waste Regulations, Section 13.13.010 through 13.13.110, introducing the first reading of Ordinance 2014-714. And do we have a staff report on that, Regan?
We do. We're going to stick with Doug Colbert on this one. Doug?
Thank you.
Do I know you?
Yes. Mayor Strell and Council, again, this is kind of the culmination of this process, or the beginning of the end, I guess you would say. And the reason for providing this information and the amendment to the municipal code is to, for a number of reasons. Number one is to give some teeth. We like that term, give some teeth to this plan that you just approved. And it also helps us from being redundant. One of the things that we want to make sure is that the plan has all the information that we need as far as the stages that we're in, what the prohibitions are for each stage, and what the fines are for not adhering to the prohibitions. And make that clear in the plan, and then have the city ordinance, the code from the city, pointing to that plan, giving us the authority as city council or staff to enforce it. And so that's the different, we have two different copies in here, one of a marked up version to show you what the ordinance used to say and what were the proposed changes, and a clean one just so you can see it, just as if all the changes have been made. And the requirements for the water shortage contingency plan, as I mentioned, are just pointed to in the ordinance, and we'll have the ability to change the plan without having to go into the ordinance and make any changes there. So I'd like to open it up to any questions that you might have. This is the first reading, and so we will be able to visit this again.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions of staff at this moment? No?
I was reading this, though. I felt like I was reading it, and then I was reading it, and I was really like, what?
It's the same thing over. It's put it in there twice. Yes, they did. That was nice, too.
On page 9 of 9, for penalties, third violation and subsequent violations, why... when you reach the third violation, is why isn't it incrementally increasing? Instead of being 250, make it 500, and then the next one would be 750. And if you haven't gotten the people's attention by then, and they keep on doing it to us in our face, we don't have any bite. We don't have any ability to impact them financially. If they are very wealthy, $250 is green fees. And I'm not saying those are the people that are going to be doing it, but some people don't perceive $250 as being much. So if that was discussed at the last meeting, or if it's something that can be readdressed when the time comes, and it could be presented in front of the council as being such and such at APN number such and such, we haven't gotten them to change their behavior pattern, and we can do some kind of resolution or pass some kind of gesture of discontent.
I'll address that. As far as the penalties are concerned, most of the time the city council has the authority and ability to set fines as they wish. As far as resolution 214-38 that the state handed down that we approved before only allows us up to $500 per infraction. So that's our limit. So as far as the increments go here, we can't go any higher than $500 per an infraction. So that would be the top limit. So it's up to you guys whether you want to change this or whatever. That's your prerogative. But we are limited to $500 per infraction as far as the state is concerned.
One question here to the attorney, Dave.
Cool.
On this, we're talking about the different infractions, and we're up to the third one with the 250 for every time they have a violation after that. When it's a misdemeanor, how many misdemeanors can you get before it gets a little more serious?
There is no limit. I mean, I guess a misdemeanor would be akin to a speeding ticket. I don't know about that, but it's not like after three misdemeanors it becomes a felony. You can have countless misdemeanors, and it's not elevated.
Okay, so having a misdemeanor and paying $250, you could do that every time you violate it, and there wouldn't be any buildup or anything.
Well, a couple comments. what Doug said and what Linda said is the amount of the fine was set by the state in their adoption of this whole water shortage emergency program, because the $250 penalty is far less than cities are permitted to charge, or that courts are permitted to fine somebody for a misdemeanor. So we'll look into that and verify if indeed that's the maximum penalty that we're allowed to charge. With respect to Dean's comment, I don't speak for wealthy people, but $250 a day, day after day after day after day,
expensive,
could add up to be a sizable amount of money, and I think it would get somebody's attention. More importantly, perhaps, at the top of that page, 86, look at section 13.13.100. The ultimate remedy, if you will, is the city turns the customer's water off. So a flagrant, willful, repetitive violator is subject to having their water turned off. So the watering, the landscaping, or their car, or letting the hose run becomes irrelevant. They can't flush their toilet. They can't take a shower. They can't cook dinner. And I would imagine that would be what would get their attention.
They have their swimming pool.
Or fill their swimming pool.
They have their swimming pool already.
Yeah. Where does it say it's $250 a day?
For every infraction.
The third violation and subsequent violations within a six-month period.
I see that, but on my little chart, it doesn't say daily.
No, well, I mean, it could be every day. I mean,
now, at the bottom of that page, each day any violation of this chapter is committed is a separate offense.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the same as every other violation of anything in our municipal code. In Title I, the penalties, it says every day is a separate violation.
Okay.
In essence, somebody could reach that third violation in 3 days. I mean, so that could be where they are.
Okay. We will just have to tell them they're not being friendly.
Yeah. All right. Is there any other questions of staff? If not, we'll open it to the public. Does anyone from the public have any comments on this ordinance?
Well, they're running to the door again.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to close public comment period.
Second.
We're moved and seconded to close public comment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed.
I wanted to make one little mention here. The state regulations begin August 1st and remain in 270 days unless the state board determines it no longer necessary. So this could reach into May, June of 2015 if we're turn into Baja desert conditions, which is pretty scary. Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
There are only one choice here. I got it.
Yep. Okay.
Motion to adopt resolution 2014-38 and read it by title only.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to introduce and hold the first reading on ordinance 2014-714 and read by title only. Linda, please.
This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Fortuna amending Title 13 Utilities, Chapter 13.13, Water Shortage and Water Waste Regulations, Sections 13.13.010 through 13.13.011.110 of the Fortuna Municipal Code. Councilmember Glazer.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Long.
Yes.
Councilmember Trent.
Yes.
Mayor Strell.
Yes. Thank you very much. Now we have that up to date. Moving on to the last business item of the evening is a public hearing, hopefully to adopt the 2014-2015 fiscal year enterprise and special fund budget of the City of Fortuna, Resolution 2014-40.
We're not doing F?
Isn't that what?
Well, I think we just skipped E.
We skipped E, we did F. Isn't that what we just did?
I thought that was.
I think I'm in order.
On Z.
G.
I got D. We went to G. D. We're going to F?
F was the what we just did.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Messed up?
No, I don't know. It's airborne.
Just go to G.
I'm on D.
G.
G, like in goat.
What happened to F?
Get back to it.
Oh, we will?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to G.
Yeah, we're going to G. All right, sorry about that. Regan, do we have a staff report on item G?
We are prepared to present item G to the City Council for approval tonight, and looking for approval of our enterprise funds and special funds budget. So thank you, Honorable Mayor Strell and council members. Our Finance Director, Marie Essig, is available to present this item tonight, and I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over to Marie.
Thank you, Regan. Mayor Strell and Council, what you have before you tonight, as Regan stated, is the city's annual restricted fund budget, or phase two of the city's annual budget. As you'll recall, we passed, the council approved and passed the general fund budget in June, and this is the second phase of that in order to have a working budget moving forward this year. As you can see by the summary that was provided, I assessed some of the highlights that were, I thought, perhaps important in looking at this. A couple of items I'd like to point out that aren't included in the staff report. I would anticipate some questions about. Number one is that included in this budget are the museum, the River Lodge, and Monday Club and community development budgets. They may look somewhat familiar to you because they were included in the general fund budget earlier this year. All three of these departments are subsidized by the general fund, and so that's why I'm then presenting them as well for the other portion in the restricted funds budget in the event that you have any questions about that duplicity. Another item I'd like to point out is that as we were reviewing the budget prior to the meeting tonight, I discovered a error, I believe, that's a format error. So I'd like to bring your attention to page 99, the revenue summary. If you go down to the fourth category, shared state revenue taxes, if you look on the furthest column under 1415, it totals $353,765. That should actually be $541,000. There's a difference of $187,292. If you look at the previous years, I discovered that's been an error we've kind of carried forward for a little while, so we'll make that correction. And what that does is increase the revenue that's reported in the staff report by $187,292. And it's also summarized on page... Excuse me. If you look on page 95, the summary of revenues under state revenue allocations, instead of $598,765, that should be $786,057. That accounts for that formatting error. For a total revenue in this budget of the restricted funds of $8,437,505. And one other minor, I think data entry errors, we had for departments moving forward. And as you'll recall from the general fund budget discussion, we removed the benefit of vacation buyout, and there's three departments included on this presentation tonight that include some small amounts that we'll remove before we print the final budget. And I'll leave the rest for you to let me know what you would like some clarification in regards to or any questions.
Do we have any questions of staff? Go ahead, Sue.
Marie, page 99.
Yes.
Under solid waste program, there's a grant revenue of $40,000.
Yes.
Tell me what that is.
Yes. This was received recently. It is a it's from the state of California, EPA. It's a household hazardous waste grant.
And on that same page, under wastewater revenues, other revenue of $35,000?
That's a miscellaneous revenue that comes in through that's categorized in there. It's a myriad of fees, different items. Some of it could be, for example, last year, some equipment was sold that was outdated. So I tried to extrapolate based on the last couple of years.
And then the RSTP state allocation, 275?
Yes.
126,963?
That should be 226 even. That's part of that error in that whole column.
Okay.
There.
And what is that?
That is, it's just a state allocation, a portion of the tax related to transportation. And why it's higher in previous years, I really can't tell you. I think Mike or Regan can answer that. If Mike Johnson's still here.
Yeah, that's what caught my attention. Is
yeah.
It's high. And apparently the amount's not.
It's a complicated formula.
That is not the same every year. It's a different allocation. Part of it's federal, part of it's state. And there's strings attached to it. It has to be used on certain roads for certain purposes. And it fluctuates with a percentage of the population related to Humboldt County, City of Arcata, City of Eureka, City of Fortuna, and the small cities and tribes. It does not stay the same.
Well, it caught my attention because it says 2013-14 actual is $226. So we went from $200 to $200.
No, it doesn't fluctuate that much.
That's what I'm asking.
And just off the top of my head, it's been 59,007 something, as high as 67,000. I think the last time it was 62,000 that I can remember. And that's just off the top of my head.
Typo.
I have the numbers going all the way back. I'd probably do in my office, but not in my memory.
Well, something must be a typo or something, because from $226.
It would be much more than that.
Okay.
It's been low, but it hasn't been that low.
It hasn't been that low.
Thanks, Mike. I think I can expand a little bit on that, Sue. So if you'll notice at the top, I have a little asterisk under 2014 actual. These revenues have not been audited yet this year. So one possibility I actually thought as I was looking at that, because I what I actually put down in this portion or this addition, I guess I would say, of this budget, it's actual numbers received. So it could have either been placed into another fund inadvertently, or we have a receivable. So I ran the cash accounts to verify that. But I had the same thought, but that's all I have recorded at this time, absent an audit.
Does anybody else want to talk?
No, if you got more questions.
I turned my mic off.
What? Well, I went through this, but I still don't really feel like I went through it as well as I should have. On page 101.
Yes.
The loan repayments went up considerably to $108,000.
On the CDBG?
Yeah.
We just received a payoff prior to the printing of this budget for a home that had been sold, and that was a $60,000 payment. So That's rather high considering the trend, but it's possible at any given time. So I know for a fact that we could depend on this.
Okay, because we already have cash.
Yes, exactly.
State of California Department of Water Resources, CIP, $350,000?
Yes.
Grant from, what's that for?
Let me look at the CIP.
Oh, do we need to go way back there?
Which page are we?
For 350?
Yeah.
Thank you for the page.
Are you looking at the very bottom line? The state
oh, the 350?
Department of Water Resources, CIP?
Yes. Yeah.
$350,000 grant?
It's a previous, we've received that grant in previous years. This is just the portion that will be expended this year on the Rona Creek project. What I was trying to do was show revenue for all of the expenditures. So essentially last year it would have been included in unearned revenue. And this year they plan on expending it.
Page 108?
Yes.
The special unit K-9?
Yes.
Got all the expenses in there?
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Where's the donation offset?
The donation offset is included
on the revenue pages?
Under police department, under donations K-9.
What page are you on, Marie?
On page 100, sorry, at the top of the page, under police, on to fourth line down.
Okay, takes a while for my page to focus.
It's in the middle of the page, just like the,
like the crest. Page. Do you guys not have any questions or what?
I turned my mic off.
Do you have questions?
You're doing good.
You asked all the questions that we were going to ask.
Well, while Sue is looking, I will just share with the council that once we move forward tonight and if we have this budget approved, of course, we'll be putting together the entire comprehensive budget for the city in a package as we do every year. But then additionally, Marie and I have been looking at some other options for creating a summary as well. So in addition to that, to make available to the public and to the community, we looked at a model from the county, actually, Humboldt County, that has a very nice model that's about, you know, 8 or 10 pages long with a lot of the, you know, the main points and the detail and the bar charts and the pie graphs and all of that type of thing to provide as much detail to the community as possible. So that's something we'll also probably be producing a little bit later once we're done with this project, of course, but thought the council might be interested in that. And something for you to utilize as well and to provide to your constituents and people that are interested. And I just think it'll be a helpful tool for us.
So then on page 115, the capital outlay, 128,963, is that part of that? It's going to be that other number, the 200 and some thousand. Is that where that carries over? Was that the same number?
No. Let's see. On page 115, the 128?
Yeah.
The capital outlay.
Is that a whole different number?
That's for equipment, in particular,
okay.
That related department.
So there's no breakdown for that capital outlay?
There probably is included in my budget notes.
Again, which page are we on there?
On page 115, I'm sure there is.
I have that memorized.
Oh.
Because that is, because we have to track that to such an extent, we had to put it in its own category, has to be reported separately. In fact, Merritt and I just finished doing the annual report for RSTP funds. And what the that's going to be used for a specific project. If you've noticed on Newburgh Road, you will see a lot of times you will see the little scooters and guys driving down the street in traffic because they can't get down the sidewalk because of impediments to mobility and ADA.
Oh, yeah.
We are looking to improve that and upgrade that so they can get from Ronerville Road to 12th Street without having to drive in the street, because their vehicle is not such that it can set the traffic loops off. So a lot of times we end up with a traffic jam at Newburgh and Fortuna Boulevard. So, but it hasn't been called out specifically as that, but that's where it's going to be used.
You're going to fix the sidewalks on Newburgh Road? And the property owners aren't going to pay for that?
Well, we have to work through that.
Okay.
Are we talking about the $128,963 figure?
That's what I was talking about.
Okay, well, that's what Mike's talking about. So there's a lot more associated with that project, but we had to put it in the budget, and this is the location. So there's not a whole lot more in terms of line items or more specific detail regarding that until we get moving forward with that particular project. So.
Well, because capital outlay, I think of as equipment, like a dump truck or a
dozer
or something. I don't know. Okay.
As we've had some changes over the last 3 or 4 years in the finance department, it has been kind of moved around, but we've always tried to track those dollars so that we don't get sideways with the funding agencies. So,
page 116, there's a radar feedback sign.
That is in the gas tax category, yes.
That isn't a police department kind of thing?
It is more of a permanent installation, or a one that we can move portably to use for passive speed enforcement. It's not so much like their trailer that was paid for with OTS grant. It's a different type. This would be able to be set up on like 12th Street to say speed limit 15 when children are present, your speed, and we could move it from this end of 12th Street to that end, one up at Toddy Thomas.
But that doesn't go under police department?
No, it's traffic control.
It's traffic control.
If you want to get them to purchase it.
Well, no, that's you. Me. No, if I said it had to come out of their budget, they'd be mad.
No general fund. No general fund.
But this is with gas tax funds for traffic control and traffic and measures, yes.
Okay, then something must have been rearranged somehow on page 117 under contributions and transfers at the bottom. There was $1,007,000 last year as a credit, and there's nothing this year.
Page 117?
Yeah, towards the bottom.
Contributions and transfers. The 1-7? Mm-hmm. Well, what we're referring to there is interfund transfers.
Okay, so we...
Yeah, so it would be in this instance, without looking at it, for example, this is wastewater. It would be a transfer from the reserve account to cover capital expenditures. So it's not a contribution in the sense of a public contribution. I could strike that moving forward if it's kind of... As I explain it to you, I could see how it could be a little confusing.
So we had to take $1,007,000 out of our reserves. What did we do with it?
Well, you set aside your reserves for capital projects. In this instance, there's a required amount that we have to set aside. For example, when the bond was issued, not all the funds were expended, and it's for future projects at that time. So as they're completed, they'll be transferred over from the reserve fund into the operating fund.
So you're saying it was for capital improvement projects for water?
Yes.
Wastewater,
I'm sorry.
All of these software, is that the finance software that's being spread over all the departments?
Yes.
How much is it?
We don't really know.
I keep seeing 10,000, 20,000.
Now, the total that was stated in the summary was, I believe.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, there's the total. Yeah, you put it. You have to spread it across departments based on usage. We don't know what the total might be. We have an idea because we haven't even begun the process. It just identified the need and know that at least it's going to be $85,000. And so it would require a process of requesting proposals and reviewing software. But we think that that's a significant amount to get the process started to a large degree, meaning if we couldn't afford the entire software package, we would purchase modules as we could afford them, but we won't know until we start a process.
So was any of that put in the regular general fund budget? I don't remember talking about
this. No, not yet.
So we put it in these wastewater and water, but nothing in the general fund?
No, not for this fiscal period, because we really started exploring the need in between in the last couple of months. And so ideally what I was anticipating, I think what the rest of the team was anticipating, is that we begin this process to allow it to begin enough to provide a study, a needs analysis internally, and then put out a request for proposal for software. And then before it would be implemented, we'd be into the next fiscal year, at which point we would come to you and ask for any general funding that we felt we could afford to supplement this. It'll be necessary.
But you can't charge everything to water and wastewater.
No, absolutely not. This is just this. Well, the only reason that's happening is because of the general fund budget was approved 2 months ago. And like I said, the need has become more and more as we're trying to assess these projects. And here we are at year end, and we're having quite some difficulty moving through the year-end process because of our software. You have to go through line by line, literally. And when you have capital projects, it becomes fairly extensive.
We also have to start someplace, and I mm-hmm. think that our water and sewer enterprise funds is a majority of time from our staff within the finance department. So I think that's appropriate. And for us to actually determine where we want to go and what we want to do, that is the first step that we need to hopefully take during this fiscal year. We've seen in past years how limiting the software, the management system has been. We actually have a current situation that Doug is addressing right now in terms of notification for our community, and we're kind of hamstrung. We're going to end up spending money outside the city to accomplish a task that we probably could have already had completed, but our system is just prohibitive. You know, it doesn't have the abilities and the capacity that we need. So we're going there. We're trying to make sure that we can be proactive and get something done and make things better for the long term for the city. We've struggled through for how many years has it been now?
19 years.
19 years. And so, you know, anything technology-wise, that's ancient. So we're kind of behind the eight ball, and we want to start moving forward. And, it's a major part of our water and wastewater system is the finance department and the ability to report and track all of the numbers, all of our clients. We have over 4,500 clients that we deal with, customers. And this is the tool that we utilize on a daily basis for them. So we need to get started someplace.
So how are we gonna flag this and not miss the fact that we've already put this amount in this year's budget, and when we actually buy something, we have to put a portion of it in the general fund?
That to Marie.
Well, it'll be a capital expenditure that we'll have to allocate across years. For example, when you have a building project, you'll begin and sometimes cross multiple fiscal years. This project will be, I would anticipate, across into next fiscal year, definitely, because we know, again, that's just a portion of what we need to do, but we wanted to start it as well. It's becoming, again, problematic because of the size of the budget with these enterprise funds.
I understand that. What I'm asking is, this is like, what, 20 or 30 or 40 or 50? It's throughout here. There's a big amount to these funds right now. I don't see anything in the police department. I don't see anything in the streets department. Well, actually, public works department, there's 10,000. What I'm seeing is I don't want us to spend $85,000, and $75,000 is coming out of the water and sewer because that's where we have money.
That's not the intention.
We have to make sure that when we start talking about next year's budget, if we're actually buying a program, that we realize we've already charged 50,000 of it to these departments, and we need to make up from the general fund. Are you guys following what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure that staff is following you as well, Councilmember Long. I mean, Linda, maybe you could pipe in here and help out a little bit, because we have a thing that we utilize. It's the allocation tables, and we do that for a lot of our purchases and a lot of our efforts. And we do spend a lot of time on that and divvying things out and make sure that we do it appropriately, and we consider the source of those funds when we do that. We just did the – when we replaced our some of our equipment for copying and photocopying and printers and all of that, when we did the new phone system that died on us, we do have to distribute things out, evenly. And
when we do that all in one fiscal year, I have no doubt that it goes where it's supposed to. But where we're crossing over – we're spending a lot, we're allocating a lot to these departments, and then when we actually write that check, if we allocate across the board like we normally do, these departments are going to be charged double.
No, I don't believe so. When we do the allocation, in fact, I would anticipate these departments receiving some credit in the absence of a large expenditure. But that's what would happen as it's allocated evenly based on a formula, different formulas for different purchases. Okay. They may even receive a credit.
I'm still sitting up here. I'm going to ask you about it.
That's what she was looking for, was the word credit.
All right. Moving on. We got stuck on that page.
What is GIS water?
GIS water is geographical information system, so it's been an ongoing effort, primarily led by Kevin Carter, but working with consultants in the past to upgrade the mapping and the asset management for the both the water and sewer, the ones we've been working for, essentially creating a computer model of the system so we can precisely locate them and track their attributes over time. And so the approach that's been taken thus far in years past and is continuing this year is to do a little bit every year rather than one large project.
Thank you.
And just one comment on those. Those are having accurate mapping of the utilities and knowing what they are useful for staff and going out and maintaining those utilities, as well as that developer who might want accurate mapping and want to know where those are so they can hide it easily and overlay it on an aerial photo and given to citizens who want to do development projects within the city.
Under, let's see, page 127, the salaries under customer account expense dropped considerably.
Yes.
That. And obviously there's a reason. What is the reason?
Under
customer account expense.
The salaries?
Yeah.
That's for a portion of the time that is spent on that specific objective.
But last year we said there was 44, almost 45,000, and this year we're saying there's going to be 18,500. Why are we spending less time or charging less time?
I would have to defer to the experts on this.
Hey, who's the expert?
You're the water expert, Doug.
I have no clue about salaries and why this is
that. Salaries. I can go back and look, definitely, and see if perhaps there's been staff reallocated or something to another department.
Page 130. We've added OSAT household hazardous waste grant. Never mind, I missed that.
Yep.
Might be almost done.
The horse died a bunch of them. It's clear.
Okay, now I think we're just to the CIP stuff. Okay, I think I'm done.
Okay. Regan?
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. only because I didn't feel like I read it well enough. Maybe you could expand a little bit on the debt administration, the part at the end.
Can you give me a page?
By the time I got to this part, I felt like my brain was just kind of mush.
Well, I expanded somewhat, as you can see, for this year's budget. Took a model that was recommended. Just so that we could outline each of the debt payments that the city makes. I think in years past, you could see a lump sum, perhaps in a category in different places in your previous budget or in your annual financial statements. But this was really just to break it out so that you could see what we were financing, when, and why.
So I've got the water bond and the wastewater bond. The California Conservation Corp lease fund, I thought they paid us, but we pay something as well.
Well, they do pay us. You'll see revenue.
Right, I know
there.
That.
And then we in turn make this debt payment.
Oh, we borrowed money for that property?
It was through the original, I think, RDA.
Right.
Okay.
Before dissolution.
And there's not too many more years left on that.
It's going down little by little.
Pretty close.
Yes, it is.
Okay, that was it for me. I would feel better if, like, one of you guys asked a question. Okay.
Let me have the baton.
So if all of this makes your mind go to mush, we can only have one of you with mushy mind. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Three more up here.
That was yesterday. I recovered.
All right. Does anyone else have any other questions of staff? You did some good questions, Sue. Thank you very much. If not, I'd like to open it to the public. Does anyone from the public like to have any comments on this budget?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to close public comment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed.
I have one more question.
Okay.
On page 150, under bad debts, it's a $30,000. It's not in the previous years.
I think that was recommended as a just a percentage of potential bad debts, the auditor. Considering the amount of funds that we have quite a high level of accounts receivable in this area. So to estimate $30,000, hopefully that won't come to pass, but we do like to set aside some anticipation.
People who don't pay their water bill and sewer bill.
Well, I just
in this event,
something that we already incurred or
no. Hopefully, it's an expenditure we won't have, but we need to plan for it.
Well, CDBG wants it for improvements of the quality of life of their homes,
mm-hmm.
Insulation, new furnaces, something that. For a senior citizen, it was something that they were lacking, did not have that, and sometimes it's a long-term loan. Now, also CDBG, if I'm not mistaken, also gave out loans for sidewalks. If it was related to access, so forth. So, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot out there that we haven't even found in the file cabinets yet.
We found them, and they're still accounted for, and you know, it seems that overall the city's been very fortunate with the repayment on these, and it's provided a lot of necessary upgrades at that time that people would not have otherwise been able to afford. Like I said, recently we received $60,000 that, you know, it happens over time. People sell their houses or move on.
So now that we're on that page, Marie, what is the economic development loans of 471, 221?
Those are anticipated funds that we may loan this year. We had to, there's a lot of changes this year with CDBG, and we're going to be required to loan at least 50% of funds on hand or return it. So in preparation of the budget, that was the figure we came out. Do we have a loan in mind? No, but we needed to budget for that or return those funds at the end of the year.
This is the good news part of getting the program income back, those payments back, or the payment on the payoff of the house that's sold, is that now we get to put those dollars back out on the street. We don't get to put them in any other departments or utilize them for anything else, but for the community, to do loans for different types of things, as we mentioned, whether it's sidewalks or home improvements, weatherization or other kind of health and safety, replacing water heaters or that type of thing, or doing other business types of loans, which we've done in the past. That now we can try and do some of that. Of course, staffing and administration of that is something we don't really have a lot of capacity for right now, but we're working on that. We're partnering with the county of Humboldt, who's been helping us with some of the reporting requirements that we have to do for these monies. And so we've also said, hey, we want to get this money back out on the street and see it put to good use. And so we're working on that, and hopefully we'll have some things to bring forward to say, hey, here's what we want to do with these dollars to, put them to work in our community again. So that's what this line item is helping us to be able to do.
And if we don't do that by the end of the fiscal year, we lose that amount?
And that's what we're afraid
that's what
of.
We're told, yeah.
Then we better find a project. Or somebody come apply for money.
We have advertise.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a shame.
You'll also notice it's minor, but there's only one fund now for CDBG. We combined four separate funds that were started and used over the years, but that's part of the changes effective July 1. You can only have, one fund, and determine a plan on how that those funds may be reused. And again, they want us to spend it.
Like, put this on a council meeting in like a couple months, 3 or 4 months, just to make sure we talk about this again and we don't just let this slide by. I would hate to lose almost $500,000.
Yeah, that is nothing that we want to see happen.
And I know how things can get. You get busy on something else and something gets passed up, so maybe we could put a reminder somewhere.
Okay. Linda, make sure we get that for a future agenda item, please.
Eight years ago, the Fortuna Senior Services was applying for and getting CDBG money to help with their program to get it off the ground. So I would say, since they had their foot in the door back then, that you shouldn't burn the bridge. You should actually approach them to find out if they would like to be a willing partner to this. Like I said, you already have justification. It was already validated for application and utilization, so they might be a fine partner with the city.
We will keep them in mind, and we do have a couple of projects that we've been discussing. I know Merritt's probably itching over there a little bit. We went to a funding fair a couple weeks back to try and identify some additional dollars for a few of the projects that we have on the books, and our representative from Block Grant, we went to talk with him about a couple of projects, and he's like, yeah, Fortuna, I know you guys. You've done a lot of good projects. You got a lot of things going on, and you have a lot of money, and you need to use it and spend it. So we're in the game. We're trying to get that going, and we do have a couple of project ideas, so we'll bring that back to you, though.
If they've blended these all into these different grants all into one category, the criteria for those different types of grants were different. When you bring this back, are you going to bring the criteria what this new system is going to look like?
Yeah, that's part of these changes that CDBG has implemented that we're up against now. It's actually kind of ironic, the timing. Marie and I met, and we invited in our rep. Her name's Paula Mushrush from the county, and was basically, hey, we've got this money. It's on our books. We want to start getting it out in the community. Help us to do that. And she's like, oh, yeah, guess what? By the way, the first thing I got to tell you is that the state has changed all of their requirements for block grant, and now you have to do this and you have to do that. So all of the requirements are now in front of us, and so that's what Paula is helping us to do, to say, okay, what types of programming is it that you wanted to do with your program income? Here's the new way to do that, and here's the new way that you have to report on all of those dollars. So that's what we're up against, and we've enlisted Judy Harrison a little bit. She's helping us to kind of put together some of this stuff, so we do have a little bit more capacity now than we had before, but it's definitely on one of the front burners, is to be compliant and not have to turn any dollars back, of course.
Well, and that's the one I asked to be included in any discussions to learn more about all this.
Yes, you did.
Right.
Yes. And I haven't been. I don't know if you had any more discussions.
We haven't yet, but like I said, we've been getting a lot of things moving.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we're ready for the public.
Now we're ready for the public?
Yep. Actually, we closed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She was after the event.
Yes. I'm ready for a motion now.
Right. Well, God, we could wait a little while here.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to adopt Resolution 2014-40 and read it by title only.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt Resolution 2014-40 and read by title only.
This is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Fortuna adopting the annual restricted fund budget and pay plan for fiscal year 2014-2015. Councilmember Glazer.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Long.
Yes.
Councilmember Trent.
Yes.
Mayor Strell.
Yes. And just a little for the people watching us, these restricted funds are funds that can only be used within the departments that we've been discussing. Their income and their expenses are their own. It doesn't affect the general plan fund budget that we had passed earlier. And that's why we were discussing some of these items when it was bending over to the other side, because those funds can't go into the general fund. That's just so, but now we're passed. We got a full budget. We'll be seeing a full printed budget here in a short while. Right? All right? Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Everybody's on channel 10 waiting for it to broadcast.
I know it. That's it.
We didn't tell them 11.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Good. We've got through all the business items as rough as we did, bounced around. Next item on the agenda is the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor Strell and council members. I won't go into detail on each of these items. I presented my report as I do for each meeting and provided our upcoming council meeting September 15th and Monday, October 6th. Kind of hard to believe we're already into putting a fall month here on our calendar, but this year has gone by pretty quickly. If there's anything in particular on there that you'd like me to talk about, I will. Otherwise, I'll kind of keep Marilyn's request to heart and keep it short.
We've got a lot of time to burn.
Yeah.
Bocce.
You'd like me to talk about the bocce a little bit? Okay. The League of California Cities, our Redwood Empire Division, Fortuna got on the list to help with one of the annual fundraising events through City PAC. And so fortunately for Fortuna, we're actually sponsoring that event here in town. It'll be on October 4th during Apple Harvest Festival, which I think is great. That way all of our city partners and people from around the area and the Redwood region can come and enjoy the Apple Harvest weekend as well as the bocce ball tournament. They're accepting applications and teams right now, and I'm hoping that we will have our star city council team, or at least some of the members, available to play in that tournament against some of the other cities and their teams that they'll be bringing from our Redwood Empire Division members. And it will be held in Rohnert Park at our three new bocce ball courts there, and then I think they're scheduling a dinner and some other events in town for that particular day. And we're hoping that people stay over and enjoy the Apple Harvest Festival activities.
Okay, if you want to impress them, you get the apple dumplings.
Oh,
for all of them.
I need to put that on some of the marketing materials.
Yes.
If those are going to be back this year, they were excellent last year.
Yes. That is the best part of Apple Harvest.
This year, Apple Harvest will have quite a few different apple desserts available.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, any other questions of the city manager? If not, moving on to further agenda items, I would like to discuss one. We have to discuss in an open session on how we're going to do this year's evaluation of the city manager. And so I'd like to put that on the agenda next meeting so that we can get that working properly, if everybody agrees to that. Okay?
I don't understand. I think last meeting you asked to schedule the city attorney and the city manager's evaluation dates.
But I've talked to the city attorney, and I have to publicly say that I'm going to give everybody the material, how we're going to do it, how I can proceed properly, and that's the way. It was a suggestion that we do that at this stage, but it was never an agenda item.
Oh, so are we going to do it differently this year than we did last year?
Maybe not, but we need to, if I understood you right, Dave, right?
Yeah, before the meeting, the mayor and I spoke, and I think what he and I were talking about was not doing any evaluation at this point,
right,
but simply allowing the council people an opportunity to say, perhaps as simple, are we going to do it the same way this year that we've done it in the past? And if so, I'll get the ball rolling.
Right. So that has to be done in...
You can do it in a closed session because you're talking about a personnel matter.
Right.
But the discussion about shall we get started on the evaluation of the manager and then me, you're not talking about the merits or the substance, just the process. And that certainly could be done in an open session if you choose to do that.
So let's do it in an open session and that aspect and get it going. Then we're following the rules of the Brown Act and everything, and we're all on the same page. Okay, so at the next meeting, there'll be a slight agenda item, and we'll just decide on the procedure we're going to do. Right? Is that how to do it? Okay.
Does that make sense?
And then we can set it a meeting dates and all of that then, too. Okay. And Mike will be back. Okay. Is there any other future agenda items? Okay, if not, moving on to city council reports. Looking at Dean's note, I'm sorry I said my wife wanted to go early.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Dean.
I would like to also give my regrets to the police department and to Sergeant Keitel for Zorro, for all the years that Zorro was his companion from the very get-go. It's nice we had a chance to be able to network and have another dog trained to be able to take his place and have him put out to pasture with some time to be able to appreciate family life and not be put into active duty. Mike, I would like to thank you for the last 12 years. One of the projects to do the approach into Redwood Shopping Mall and to Burger King with the drains on Fortuna Boulevard, and you paved over the top of those to make it nice and smooth. That has to be probably the nicest thing that's been done by Public Works for a decade. So thank you very much for your staff to do that. I'm glad it was a capital improvement project and it finally got done. September, this month, 9/11 memorial. I try to remind the public. I don't think I'm going to have too many viewers tonight because, like I said, Channel 10 is our normal Monday night. So whenever we battle one-on-one with Eureka, our redundancy channel is Channel 11. So people are going to be frustrated. They'll be surfing the channels trying to find us, and they're not going to find us. But for the people that are listening, the annual 9/11 memorial parade that's put on by the fire department along with the city of Fortuna and the police department is going to be taking place this year. It starts at the same location for the parade at 11th and N. The memorial, if you choose not to be a participant in the flag carrying and walking alongside of the fire trucks, that memorial will take place at the Veterans Memorial Building at about 12:15. Please bring your own American flag. Wear red, white, and blue. Be there to enjoy the singing and the camaraderie amongst good patriotic Americans. It's been probably 6-7 years since the last time and the only time I've ever had a tirade. I actually truly forget what I was arguing about and being very animated about, but no, it wasn't. Nobody wanted to listen about that. Unfortunately, all I needed was one more person and we could have actually had a moratorium.
I don't think it's been 6 years.
This is something that I have been very annoyed about. I have been a strong supporter of this design review board. I was ex officio on their board starting in 2002. I watched those members participate in the design formulation for the parapets and the outside structure of business structures. At the same time Eureka was doing it, Chris Kerrigan was involved with that as ex officio representative. And they, about the time, after about 2-3 years, when Eureka dropped it, for some unknown reason, Fortuna decided to be in parallel perception, and so they didn't really pursue it. I think that was an error on part of the staff and the former city manager. And the reason why I say that is a major project that came to Fortuna that is in the in the process of being done right now would not be the fiasco that it is and the disgrace that it is and the discontent that has to be suffered for perpetuity after it's done, because we're going to see this structure and the lack of quality and the lack of positioning and the continual impact it's going to have on the community and in close proximity. I really don't know why a project of this magnitude did not have a public meeting. Generally, when you have some kind of that magnitude, you would actually reach out with the sphere of influence to 300 feet and actually allow the citizens to come forward to express their discontent or hopefully get a response back from staff that would resolve their fears. There was no public meeting. To say that you might have had some discussion at Planning Commission, I think, was insufficient. Because after talking to the citizens on that street, no one got any kind of notification from the city. So the city automatically, I find, culpable of dropping the ball. Discussion, and I will say I am secondhand information, but the person who I listened to is a very credible individual. After he talked with the general contractor who has built hundreds of these buildings, he told my friend that this is the ugliest, this is the cheapest, this is the sleaziest building ever built by him, and it's a disgrace. Now, my question is, why did our staff, why or who or whatever, have this slip through the cracks without any controls? And I think it falls back on the design review board being eliminated and the design review board not having a chance to discuss what the design would be for a business structure. Any kind of a contract that takes place is obligated to mitigate dust. That is the obligation of that contractor. Not a day went that a water truck was utilized to mitigate the dust. The dust was in the air every single day. That is a travesty on our part. I don't know who dropped the ball, but I surely don't want to have it happen again. For the four residents that have the closest proximity to the back wall, I feel shameful on part of the city leaving you out to dry and not having an opportunity for you people to mitigate a sound, not having a sound barrier built by the contractor. My understanding is that if that had been put into the mandates for this project, that probably without hesitation, a concrete retaining wall would have been built there to stop any kind of sound. Right now, all there is a wood fence. I don't think that's substantial to meet what would be in a friendly, wonderful city to do that, to personally, to impact these people. I just think it's shameful. And I say, once again, I don't know who allowed this to go through, but I don't ever want to see it again. Never, ever, ever, ever. One business was directly 100% impacted every single day, and that was A1 Radiator. What concern was given to him when the people that were working for that project parked in places where his business clientele would be able to park? What concern was given to him when his employees, who normally would be parking on that substandard 41-foot wide street, where were those people, where were their employees to be able to park? No discussion was ever given to him. He was a victim of poor management, poor policy control. The old cliche is put yourself in somebody else's shoes and feel the compassion and the hurt and the disregard. And I don't think anybody in our staff or anyone did that. Personally, I'm ashamed to be a council person to have the city stand back and let it go through, and it's still going through. I could probably discuss this for another hour, but My point is, shame on the city, shame on not having higher standards for what we should have had as policies. We should not have been that desperate to let this company come through and dictate us and tell us what we're going to do when we have the control of the project and we dropped the ball and we didn't follow through. So for those people on Spring Street and on Second Avenue, I truly apologize on my part that I didn't do my job representing you. Now, following up on a happier note, I hope people can see where the switch is turned off. God bless America. God bless our troops. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Dean. I can understand your comments. I don't think this was exactly the place you should have said it. But we all have to take responsibility of what goes on in this town. And if these people have been talking to you, did they wait till the project was over, or have you had this information and could have done something about it way on? That's your responsibility when the public comes. You should have been in the staff already complaining about these projects. You don't wait till the project's almost over. You should be down. When anybody comes into this store for me that have problems in the neighborhood, I come to staff and things get taken care of. So this is, your speech was nice, except it was a little late. We should have been working on those problems as soon as you found out about them. But thanks for your comments. Sorry, Sue?
I'm not even going to go there. Since our last meeting, I had a REDEC meeting, and we just appointed Virginia as the interim director for the third time. So she's more than qualified to take over, and I think we did it for 6 months, April 1st or something. And it was decided that the executive committee would get a job description and start the process to hire a new director, with the agreement unanimously that there would definitely be an extensive background check by a professional agency because of the issues they've had with that organization in the past. And
Sue, I'm sorry, who is the interim?
Virginia, I think her last name's Fisher. She's been there for 12 years. So she's very knowledgeable. She's the one that processes a lot of the paperwork anyway. She kind of knows what's going on inside and out. So the executive committee is going to tackle the hiring process, and if we don't get anywhere, then we'll venture out and hire a professional employment service. And that was pretty much most of our meeting.
Thank you, Sue. Tammy.
Oh, one more thing. Can I say one more thing?
I don't know.
Hobson Humboldt, who you know is a nonprofit organization that gives back their proceeds to the community. Last count, we were at over $91,000 income this year. So the event cost between 40 and 50 probably to put on, so we're going to have a whole lot more money to give away than we've had for a few years. 1 year, we only had $15,000 to give away. So we are over the top excited, and it was pretty successful. I don't think the police had a lot of issues. One guy was arrested for, never mind. Anyway, there weren't fights. There was a lot of just happy people. So a lot of cars left in the parking lot, which is good. We encourage, you know, the safe driving and the DDs, and we have the shuttles and the buses and all that. And the city has an agreement that we leave, the cars will not be towed if they leave them in the park overnight. So I think it was just a really successful year, and the committee was really excited.
Thank you. Thank you, Sue. Now, Tammy.
I went to a Yes on Measure V meeting.
on Monday, August 25th, and at that meeting, we talked about different ways to get the message out to the community on how important it is that this passes. Next Monday, when we have our meeting, we'll be discussing fundraiser to raise money for so we can get signs and advertising out. And I'll report on what their fundraiser is at the next meeting. And then Saturday, August 20th, was Hops for Humboldt in Rohnert Park, and I had the opportunity of working at the front desk. I was really amazed at how many designated drivers that groups of people brought in, so I was pretty impressed with that. And also, I got to see firsthand how hard the city crews worked. Not only was there Hops and Humboldt that Saturday, it was also the kids' soccer jamboree. So both parks were packed full of people, and city staff went back and forth from park to park, making sure the garbage cans were emptied and everything was taken care of, and they did an excellent job. So I'd like to praise them for that. And that's it.
And thank you for bringing up the parks crew.
Thank you.
They did an amazing job that day.
Yeah, they did. They worked hard.
We wrote Tammy into helping and seeing firsthand how crazy it is at Hops and Humboldt.
It was fun, though.
It's a zoo. It is. It's a zoo.
While we're on Hops and Humboldt, the next day, I was at Hops and Humboldt also, but the next day I was at another function where there was a lot of people. It was a jamboree for the youth football. And a couple different family members came up and they're newly in this area, and they're impressed that Fortuna can put on so many functions at the same time. And anybody says there's nothing to do, and Fortuna just haven't walked around because our parks were all full, everything was happening, so that people are impressed with the way town puts it on. I did survive Hops and Humboldt. I have the opportunity to be the mayor's choice judge at it, and I did. Did go to 34 different breweries and sample multiple flavors at each of those.
34 glasses of beer?
Yeah, plus two or three at each one. And I was able to get up on stage and give the award away. And this year I gave...
You don't remember, do you?
Yes, I do. This year I gave the... I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I had a designated driver. My wife was with me. But this year I chose our own Eel River Brewery. They did a very good job of marketing themselves this year, and it was nice, and I've always liked their beer, and so it was nice to be able to give it to a local person. I do bring in, just so people know, because I'm not a real big beer drinker, I bring in my son-in-laws that are experts in this new microbrewery, so they can ask the questions and really drink, and they're the ones that help me make this decision because they understand the language, because I used to just buy a beer, it's either light or beer. Now you got to know what the IPA is, bitters, and understand the color and what's floating in it, and they love that. But it was an interesting project, and we had some very good brewers in town, and it's one of the bigger ones. The people who come here from other areas, this is one of the best hops-type programs in California. We have more breweries than anybody else, and the people are friendlier, and the town works well. But that was good. That's one of the fun parts about being mayor, is that you get to go drink beer all afternoon. I also attended a HCOG meeting last week, and really there wasn't a whole lot on the agenda. We actually got, it was mostly reports. And things to come in the future. We got out of there fairly quick, which was nice. This coming Wednesday, I have a railroad authorities meeting, and it'll be on Wednesday, which will be nice. It'll be in Eureka, so I don't have to travel all the way down to Novato like I had to last month. And then next Friday, is the Highway 36 Association meeting, and this year it's in Red Bluff, and we will have a contingency that'll travel from here to Red Bluff. And then at the Red Bluff meeting, we'll have representatives from Caltrans District 1, which is our district on this side, and Caltrans District 2, which is the Red Bluff side. And so at those meetings, we can talk to they tell us what they've got planned for the highway, and then all the people who travel that highway all the time tell them how we think it should be improved. And it really has, over the years, if anybody's been driving that, Highway 36 Association is the group that tends to get stuff done. Because like when we go over, this group that'll be traveling over will be taking notes, mile marker this needs to be fixed, mile marker that needs to be fixed. And 2 years ago, because of the testimony that came from the Highway 36 Association, this Caltrans has won a grant from the federal government and U.S. Forest Service to rebuild the four-mile section of 36 that doesn't have a center line. So as Alan French will say, we will finally have our own lane when we travel that road instead of having to share a lane. So that should, that has jumped all the hoops, and that should, project should start probably next year. So in a couple years, we won't, we'll have a divided road all the way to Red Bluff.
Talking about the bluff.
Yeah, along Buck.
The Kamikaze Bluff.
Along Buck Mountain there, yep. That'll be, that'll be fixed finally.
Nice.
Yes, and so that's about all that I've been doing recently. With that, I don't have anything else to say, so we shall. We're going to go into closed session after this meeting, and the, it'll be a conference on negotiation. The city manager is our negotiator. With the employees organizations of the Fortuna Police Employees Association, the Fortuna Employees Association, and the Unrepresented Management Group in accordance with Section 54957.6 of the Government Code. So at this time, is anyone from the public like to make any comments on what we might be talking about in closed session?
Make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
So moving second to close public comment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So closed.
Motion to adjourn to closed session.
Away.
Second.
We moved and seconded to adjourn to closed session. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So adjourned.